Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone, to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Dr. Michael Amster with me today. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Maria. It's such an honor to be here and get to meet you and your community of listeners. I've really enjoyed checking out your website and even did your little quiz.
Oh, good.
And checking out my own mind cluck.
What did you land on? What's your loudest mind cluck?
Decision making, for sure.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm a medical doctor and I work as a pain management specialist, also a researcher on the incredible emotion of awe and at UC Berkeley Greater Good Science Center. And a recent author as well of The Power of Awe. So I've been a student of mindfulness since I've been a teenager and entered into the world of studying meditation and mindfulness because of my own panic attacks and anxiety around test taking. And so it was really, that was my gateway into studying meditation and using mindfulness techniques to manage my mind cluck, or in Buddhist circles, they call it the monkey mind.
Right.
So, and was trained as a meditation teacher about 12 years ago. I've led a meditation community called the Sangha. And about 4 years ago, started doing research on the emotion of awe, and that is why we're here today, is to talk about the emotion of awe and the new book that's out with my co-author, Jake Eagle.
Right. And so for all of our listeners and for anybody who's watching this on video, get this book. It is fabulous. I can't say enough good things about it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So tell us, how did you come to write this book?
Yeah. So about 4 years ago, my friend and colleague, Jake Eagle, he's a psychotherapist in Hawaii and also a mindfulness teacher. He was leading a class and we had a conversation about and I've done this many times where I've asked my students to meditate for 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. And people say, well, it's so hard to find time to practice and it's hard to have the effort. And then there's more mind cluck because judgment mind of not being able to succeed. I mean, I think almost everyone really is challenged by a sustained mindfulness practice. So from that conversation, we're like, wow, I wonder if we could come up with this idea of micro doses of mindfulness, like these little doses of mindfulness throughout the day. And started to explore what would be that ideal practice. If you could find that nugget of that profound, powerful practice that would take you to that really transcendent state in a matter of seconds. So Jake lives in Hawaii and I flew out there and spent a week with him and his wife, Hannah. And for those who have been to Hawaii or seen pictures of Hawaii, it's filled with a lot of awe.
Definitely.
The oceans, the mountains, the food, the colors, everything is just awe-inspiring and extraordinary awe at that. And we knew that there was maybe something around that transcendent state, which in Buddhism they called nirvana, that maybe was similar to that state of awe where you feel that sense of connection and timelessness and peace, deep peace. And it was actually in this moment of just making pancakes one morning for Jake and Hannah, where I had this really profound experience of awe. It was orgasmic, as we call it, on that far spectrum of awe.
Yeah.
But it was that simple act of just watching pancakes go from a liquid batter to a solid pancake that I had this epiphany.
And
it's all about finding these opening our eyes to finding the miraculous and the wonder of these ordinary moments of finding awe in the everyday, which became the subject of our interest. And so we created this very simple practice. We call it the awe method. We use the word awe, A-W-E, as a three-step process to access profound moments of awe in the ordinary times of our lives. And then we both did pilot studies with about a dozen of our patients in my practice as a pain doctor and Jake as a psychotherapist. We saw really impressive results of decreases of depression and anxiety and decreases in chronic pain. So I sought out Dacher Keltner, who is the founder of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley and is really the granddaddy of all awe research. He's been in the field for over 20 years and really started the research in this area, primarily from a psychological and sociological perspective of understanding what makes awe so special as an emotion. Well, the pandemic hit within weeks of meeting Dacher, and Jake and I approached him about designing a quick, urgent study of teaching the awe method to hundreds of patients that were struggling with depression, anxiety, and loneliness at the height of the pandemic. And then also we studied about 200 doctors and nurses who are on the front lines with COVID and with burnout. And so from those awesome results of our study, we were encouraged to write our book. And here we are with the power of awe out there in the world and sharing the profound, powerful practice that this is.
Okay. So for our listeners, explain what the awe method is.
Great. Yeah. I'd love to talk about it. So on our website, thepowerofawe.com, we do have a lot of resources that go into more depth and guided practices as well. And I'm also mindful that when people are listening to podcasts, like for example, I'm usually driving in my car. So I'll talk to you through the practice, but I don't want you to have this, you know, orgasmic experience where, God forbid, you get in a car accident.
Yeah, for sure. If you're driving, don't do this right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's really neat is these extended practices, which we have 30 of them in our book of extended awe practices, are really quite, they take it to a whole nother level. So here we go. We'll give you a taste of this. So we use the word awe. It's an acronym for the three-step process of finding these ordinary moments of awe throughout our daily lives. So A stands for attention. And so what we're asking is you to bring your full undivided attention to something that you value, you appreciate, or find amazing.
Yes.
So right now I'm having this wonderful conversation with Maria, which you have a ear to ear beaming smile, which I find awe-inspiring. I could focus even on that. But in the space that I'm in right now, of looking at you on your camera, you have this beautiful piece of art behind you. It looks like like a leaf of a fern almost, that's green and beautiful and may even be a tapestry. But I'm going to now, in this moment of having an awe moment, use that as the object. Okay. So for the listener, you can find something in the room you're in right now, or if you're outside, you could look at something in nature that you find awe-inspiring. If you can't find anything in your visual field, you can listen for something, a sound, or it can be even a memory. So again, we're bringing our full attention to something we value, appreciate, and find amazing. And then the W stands for wait. And we're just gifting ourselves in this present moment, our full attention, just being with that experience. And then the E stands for a deeper exhale than your inhale. We take that long exhale out, and even making the sound of awe is that exhale we're talking about, like,
okay.
And then with the E, it's also an expansion. When we have these moments of awe, you want to let it fill you up. You want to let it expand and get bigger than your body in a way, like an energetic field that's expanding out there in the space around you. And then that's that brief moment of awe. And actually I can feel right now, I have this like sort of tingle and chills in my body from just having this practice. And
yeah, that's amazing. So when you're focusing your attention, are you Are you, I mean, I know you've been doing this for a long time, so it's probably automatic, but for someone who's just starting out, would you recommend that you are like counting seconds? Because I know in the book it says 5 to 15 seconds. I'm just wondering, like, how do you recommend that people approach this? Or is it just like you focus your attention, you feel that attention, you feel the pause, so you do it by feeling? Or do you actually like tick it off in your mind?
So that's a great question. So we really encourage people to not focus too much on the mechanics.
Okay. What
we think of this is that we're giving people training wheels to find a method that we know is proven and it works, to give people an experience of awe in the ordinary, a very present, mindful, microdose experience of finding that beauty, the wonder, the amazement, and something that's just very ordinary in our lives. I definitely don't count. And it's usually just a cycle of one or two breaths.
Okay.
So maybe early on, you just go through, bring your full attention to that thing and then have yourself go through a normal breath cycle. And then on that second breath cycle, you might take that little longer inhale of like a deeper breath. And then that really long exhale out with letting the energy expand outward.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the simplest way. There's no counting. And in fact, what we've learned from our research is that if you try too hard, if you effort and push yourself, it's actually counter to experiencing these moments of awe.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's with the space of ease and gentleness and presence that these moments of awe bubble up. I think of like an example where I've been to the Grand Canyon. I was really blessed last summer to spend 18 days at the bottom. I'm a whitewater rafting guide. So I did the whole river with my 21-year-old daughter and a bunch of friends. And, you don't drive or get to the Grand Canyon and you look out there and you're like, I want to have a moment of awe right now. Like, make it happen. It just doesn't do that. But you get there and it's like, whoa, and the vastness of that and the expanse, it just grabs you. Uh-huh. But you never make that happen. It just happens.
Right.
And in these moments of awe in the ordinary, it's really profound because I live here in Santa Cruz, California. I'm looking outside my window and I actually have a redwood tree right outside my
beautiful
here. And I see this tree every day, but I just like, while talking to you, I just had a moment of awe. I felt it, and this profound shift in just my sense of awareness and presence just happened just looking out. And I've seen this tree, hundreds of times, but every time it's different. There's something about it that captures me. And I think this is what's beautiful about this practice is that in our busy world that we're in and with all the technology and our mind cluck.
Yeah.
We've lost the ability to discern and to see the miraculous, the beauty in the everyday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about, I've shared this example. I had this epiphany that people using the Keurig machines, those little pods to make coffee in the morning. I think it's a really profound example of like how we've tried these come about with these modern conveniences, but then it takes us away from the richness of life. Mm. Because making a cup of coffee, whether you use like a drip method or a French press, it's so sensual.
Yeah.
I use that as my first moment of awe every day. Uh-huh. Actually, waking in bed and feeling the sheets and being next to my sweetie in bed, like that's my first moment. But then often the dog wakes me up and that's another moment. But
yeah.
Making coffee is such a rich experience. And I feel like we're losing out on the richness of life with all these automatic processes that take us away from the kinesthetic, sensual smell, feel, sounds of life.
Right. And the other thing that really comes to me is that when you start to pay attention to all of those things, you slow down. And in slowing down, you get even more richness because we live in an incredible place. No matter where you are on earth, like just living on earth, it's an incredible place, but you can lose touch with that because we're just go, go, go all the time.
Exactly. I mean, I have, we talk about this in our book, but we have different categories of awe, three main ones.
Yeah. Tell us about those.
Yeah. But I was going to share.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to share about this, but you were just talking about just thinking about Earth.
Yeah.
And we call this conceptual awe. It's one of the three categories of ways we can access awe. But the way in which, if we just think about this planet that we're on, and the history behind it, and the 17 billion year history of the universe, the 4.5 billion year history of Earth, the history of life on this planet. And it is so miraculous that we're here. The conditions, everything about it that allows life to exist here, it doesn't happen anywhere else on that we know of anywhere, on any other planet. Right. The conditions of having the right geomagnetic field around the planet that keeps all the radiation and solar destructive forces away from destroying all life. You know, we have this incredible atmosphere. We have oxygen, we have water, so much water, everything to like create this beautiful planet. And, you know, and then here we are destroying it. And sadly, our only home, and there is no other home that we'll ever find as gorgeous and beautiful as this. And one of the things that's so powerful about awe, and we talk about this in our epilogue, is that, because really it's a call to action, is that if we're in awe of the natural world, if we live every day in amazement and wonder of the beauty of everything around us, you can't destroy it. You want to protect it. You want to keep all life sacred and alive on this planet and all the natural resources protected. So we really see this is not just a personal practice, but a movement of really changing the world around us.
I just want to say, I so agree with you, because I'm very connected to nature, and I spend a lot of time marveling at nature, and I wish that everybody could do that. So this is one, you know, starting this practice is a way to start to reconnect yourself with nature if you have been disconnected from it.
I love that. Exactly, Maria. That's really where we begin in our book. We talk about a 21-day program. And that's what we studied in our research with the hundreds of participants in our study, is we taught them a 21-day program of learning to build what we call a muscle of awe, or we're creating the neural pathways of having awe in our lives. And the first conduit is nature. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we ask people to focus on awe of the senses, awe of the natural world. And for those of you that maybe have a daily walk where you take your pet, your dog, maybe out there to the same park every day, or same little stroll, open your eyes and look for the awe all around you. If you look up, you'll find it in the sky or in the treetops. If you look down, you'll find it in even the cracks in pavement with little green weeds that are sprouting up in a lifeless zone of pavement. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's life everywhere. And there's awe in what we've created in our buildings and our architecture and the cars and all the things we've built.
Yeah. Think about hot and cold running water at demand, on demand.
Yeah.
Like that, that's awe-inspiring. I was a Peace Corps volunteer, so I lived without running water and electricity. And, you know, that was a long time ago, but to this day, I still notice that. I still pay attention to that. I so agree with you that you can find awe in any space. That's my belief.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what we teach, is that in the heart of the pandemic, when people were sheltering in place, and a lot of people were very alone and lonely. And one of the things we found in our research, that awe is so unique as an emotion, that it connects us to something greater than the self. So you can physically be in your home and all alone for months at a time, but yet you feel connected. You don't feel alone, because the experience of awe connects you to something greater than the self, whether you want to call it God or the universe or some type of greater consciousness, all life on Earth. It's that transcendent state of feeling the oneness, the non-dual experience of life on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us what is happening in the body and in the brain when you experience awe.
Yeah, this is great. So there's really four main areas that happens when we have these moments of awe. So we know that to begin that in terms of the design of the awe method and when we have awe is that we're stimulating the part of our autonomic nervous system called the parasympathetic state. It's the opposite of the fight, flight, freeze. Okay. Like when the tiger's chasing you and the mind cluck's going crazy.
Yeah.
That's the sympathetic nervous system. That's your defender, fight, flight. Very ancient. I mean, they call it the reptilian brain as part of our brain, but it's an ancient part of us that we don't think about. It all happens automatically, just like our breathing when we're sleeping at night or our heart rate. It's regulated by the nervous system, but it happens automatically with no consciousness. And so awe moments, and when you take that deep breath in, you're stimulating your vagus nerve, which is the master computer of your parasympathetic, that rest healing state. It stimulates. So we know awe creates that optimal zone of healing, rest, and repair. Also, the second thing is that what's called the default mode network, and these are several regions of the brain that are all kind of interconnected. It's the mind clock part of the brain, really, if you want to call it that.
Yeah,
that judgment, self-criticism, ruminating monkey mind brain that is chatting at us all day long that we're not good enough or something's not right about us
or
others. So that part of the brain quiets down and slows down as well. Third is releases of oxytocin, which is that love, bonding, trust hormone. And then the fourth thing, which is really incredible of what's happening in our physiology, is the decreases of inflammation. And this to me is like truly awe-inspiring, is understanding how this is happening. And what awe is actually the only positive of all of the positive emotions that lowers inflammatory cytokines, which
that's incredible. When I read that in your book, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be practicing awe all the time.
Yeah. So this is really an incredible discovery that was not our research, but colleagues of mine at the university did these blood values and saw that interleukin 6, which is considered really the big bad inflammatory cytokine implicated in a lot of chronic illnesses, decreases significantly when people have these moments of awe. And I'll just kind of share, I mean, I think the story of cytokines is awe-inspiring. So basically, when life evolved on Earth, you know, billion plus years ago, the little first single cellular organisms that they would communicate with each other with cytokines. Cytokines are little protein molecules, 30, 50 amino acids long. And they would basically say to other organisms around them, I'm safe or unsafe. Uh-huh. And if you think about it, our immune system, which we have today, I mean, we're 4.5 billion years of intelligence of Earth in our bodies here, that our wiring, our design of our immune system is the same way. It uses these cytokines. Yeah. It's all about safe or unsafe. If we're under threat, we have an infection, these inflammatory cytokines get pumped out. That brings all the immune cells in. They do their job, fight off the infection.
Right.
Well, when we're under chronic stress, when we're dealing with racism, xenophobia, you know, all the negativity in the news and all these bad things that are constantly happening in fear states, well, we're pumping out a lot of inflammation in our bodies from these cytokines. And we know inflammation is involved in all heart disease, you know, coronary artery disease, heart attacks is inflammatory. We know that these cytokines are elevated after heart attacks and before cancer, diabetes, autoimmune disease, even depression is considered a neuroinflammatory condition.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So awe has this unique ability to lower these inflammation cytokines. And I think it is profound with like the long reaching benefits of how this practice can really help people.
And so I'm a scientist, so I'm really interested in the science. How long does the positive cytokine effect last? Like if you're experiencing awe, so I'm thinking like, I know you talk about building your awe muscle. So it's like the more that you are tuned into awe, the more you're going to have these moments of awe. So I'm thinking the more you're going to be stimulating your positive cytokines. Is that how you look at it?
I don't have any data to tell you that there's a direct response in terms of of how long a dose gives you of
Okay.
those positive of the decrease of the inflammatory cytokines.
Yeah.
We do know that awe lowers inflammatory cytokines, and we do know also from our research, I'm trying to piece the puzzle here together, kind of give
Yeah,
you an
yeah.
indirect answer to your question, but not
Okay.
knowing the direct answer. But so, because we know that awe lowers inflammatory cytokines, we'll take that. Now,
Yep.
our research, we know that there's what's called a dose response,
Okay.
which means the more times that people dose awe throughout the day, the more benefit they had.
Yeah, that
So,
makes sense.
we asked people to do in our research at least 3 times a day, but we invited people to do it as many times as they wanted to. And then from our measures that we did, we know that there is a dose response. So people that did it 10 times a day had more improvement than those that just did it 3 times a day.
Yeah, that
So then I
totally
would
makes
sort of from
sense.
that data extrapolate that yes, these microdoses of awe throughout the day have a profound impact on the overall, physiology of your body.
Yeah. So I know we started to talk about this and then we got sidetracked. Tell us about the three different kinds of awe.
Yeah, so we talk about sort of 3 categories of awe, and so I had shared a little bit about awe of concept, so conceptual awe. So that's when you think about the world around you that you can find as a source of awe and be awe-inspiring. And then awe of senses. That's really what we start off with when we teach our 21-day program, and we talk about this in our book, is we ask people to start off with their senses, which is sort of the easiest conduit into finding awe with, looking out in the world in front of you and starting to see things in a different way, looking at light filtering through the trees or through your window, or the sounds of birds, the ambient sounds around you can be awe-inspiring. The kinesthetic, I mean, even if you just took for this moment while we're chatting and put your fingers together, and you can be in awe of your ability to discern the ridges of your finger, of like you can feel it if you just close your eyes, and you can be in awe of that, of
Yeah, that's actually so I make guided meditations, and one of the ways that I take people into a meditation is with that. It's like put your fingertips together, and I think like feel the ridges and then realize that you're the only person who has those fingerprints. Like if that's not awe-inspiring.
It's so true. I know,
Yeah.
right? It's so simple. It's like we already have this with us. We carry it everywhere we go, and we can find
Yeah.
awe in our physio, our personal bodies.
Yeah.
It can be an awe of your lungs and the ability to, as you take a deep breath in, you're exchanging oxygen with carbon dioxide, and then the
Right.
plants take your carbon dioxide and make oxygen from that. I mean,
Yeah.
so that's an example of conceptual awe. You're like, wow, the circuitry of all life on this planet and how we're all interconnected, weaved together. That's a conceptual awe. But
Yeah.
and then we have awe senses. And then the third kind of category of awe is what we call interconnected awe. And that's the awe we have connecting with other sentient beings. It can be with people we love and our friends, but also strangers. We can have moments of awe just looking at people, for example, in line at the airport. Then when you're going through the checkpoint, you can have a lot of profound awe just seeing the people's quirky behaviors, or the differences of everyone's physical appearances, like the different
Yeah.
shapes of our bodies, the colors of our hair, eyes, everything. The clothing we wear can be awe-inspiring.
Yeah, I agree. One thing that I am very small in stature and I'm in awe of tall people. And when I see really tall people, I just think, wow, isn't it amazing that we're the same species?
The variety of the human bodies is just Awe-inspiring. Exactly.
Yeah. And so tell us, if for somebody who's experiencing anxiety, depression, et cetera, tell us about how awe, experiencing awe, is different from just trying to be happy, which of course is very difficult for somebody who's anxious or depressed. Like, you can experience awe when you're also experiencing one of these other, what would be considered a negative emotion. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in one of the chapters of our book, we have a whole chapter devoted to finding awe in times of strife, mm-hmm. when our lives aren't going well and we're really struggling or challenged, whether, you know, and I personally have gone through times of depression, of relationship mm-hmm. ending, job loss, of empty nester, kid gone, and just feeling a little without that lostness of my own life. And I know that from personal experiences as a doctor and researching this, is that when people are struggling with depression, you can't force yourself to be happy. You can't say to yourself, I'm going to be happy today. It just doesn't work that way. But what's really unique about the emotion of awe is that you can still access awe even in these really profound, hard times of our lives, when we mm-hmm. are struggling with depression mm-hmm. or we're feeling quite anxious.
Or if you've experienced loss.
Yeah, if you've mm-hmm. experienced loss, exactly. Or you yourself are going through some really difficult physical illness. Like, we had mm-hmm. people in our studies that were going through cancer, and mm-hmm. We share a lot of their stories in our book, actually. But awe is so unique because it gives us this great ability to still find that deeper connection to that vastness and the beauty of life, even in the midst of some really hard times. And we share the story in our book of Viktor Frankl, who, for those of you that may know, he was a medical doctor, psychiatrist that survived Auschwitz and wrote one of the most important books of the last century called Man's Search for Meaning. And we quote from his book about, even in the darkness of the camps and going on, people being on a death march, so to speak, that even these prisoners would look out at the beauty of the nature and be awe-inspired, and it gave them hope. And awe gives us hope. Even in the darkest of times, mm-hmm. we can access awe and find hope.
Yeah, it's so powerful. That is so powerful. What are your favorite ways to practice awe? I mean, you told us a lot of them, but do you have like your go-tos that you do all the time, or?
That's a great question. So what I always recommend to people as they're building their muscle is to do what's called habit stacking.
Okay.
And that's basically where you want to connect the practice of awe to something you do already on a daily basis. Oh, okay. So for me, I have moments of awe with coffee. I love making a French press, and just, there's something about, whether it's the smell of the grounds or watching the water boil early in the morning or seeing the little granules floating down in the glass French press. It's just, all that can be such a profound moment of awe for me. And then I also do it with walking my dog to the park, and I sort of do the same circuit with the dog every day, but I just open my eyes, and every day I see something new that I never appreciated mm-hmm. or never mm-hmm. knew was there before. Mm-hmm. And even if you do that same walk every day, there's going to be something that you'll find mm-hmm. to inspire awe that you've never noticed before. You just kind of open up to this field of awe. You know, those are really the main ways for me, is those practices. Also, a really sweet one is connecting with other people. Uh-huh. And sharing awe with them. And mm-hmm. I, as a medical doctor, I do this in my clinical practice. And quite often I'll begin a patient visit. And I work in a really beautiful clinic that has a lot of windows and beautiful artwork in it. And so I'll like go out to the window with a patient when I start a visit, and we'll look outside at the trees, or we can see the mountains off in the distance. And you know, I'll say, what's been a moment of awe for you lately? And it's like a beautiful way to connect with people. Mm. It's this conversation of awe. And what we know from our research is that awe is contagious, that uh-huh. when we share our awe with other people, we inspire awe in them. If you think right. about it, and that's one of this profound. And actually on our website, on our powerofawe.com website, uh-huh. we have under the Try It Now tab, we have a section we call the moment of awe page, and uh-huh. people can post and share their moments of awe. And you can go there also and read other people's moments of awe. And there's something that's really powerful about sharing as well as witnessing other people's awe.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me because you can put yourself into their awe. You can mm-hmm. read about it and then feel it yourself and thereby, you know, draw that energy. That's wonderful.
It's really true. And there's an opportunity to post pictures on this webpage. And when people take a picture of like a pet or mm-hmm. of the garden or something they saw or a beautiful sunset, you don't have to physically be there yourself. Just witnessing and dropping into their awe gives you a dose of awe as well.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
So I know in your book you touch on transcendence. First of all, define transcendence for us.
Well, what we mean by transcendence is it's really about shifting our level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And in our book, we talk about a model that Jake, my co-author, and his wife Hannah really created. It's their life's work. They've been leading spiritual retreats for over 30 years in a
wow.
organization they call liveconscious.com. And what transcendence is, and if you think about it from a spiritual, you know, practice standpoint, whatever your religion is or whatever your practice is, it's like taking you from that ordinary state that we're in day to day and bringing us to that heightened level of consciousness. In our book, we talk about it. We call it spacious consciousness. Uh-huh. We say that we're living in the ordinary consciousness level as safety, which is that, you know, that productive state that we're in on a daily basis of working, raising our kids, right. but also that protective state. Am I safe? Am I not safe?
Yes.
Well, the awe practice and experiencing these transcendent states of awe, or if it's meditation or chanting mm-hmm. or prayer, whatever you do, it takes you up to that heightened state that is that state of spaciousness, that quality of timelessness, of connection to all things, that the non-dual experience, the mind quieting down, being fully present, a deep sense of peace. So that's what we call that's an example of what we mean by transcendence. And we talk about in the beginning of our book that we were almost embarrassed that here we're both long-term practitioners of spiritual practices. You know, I've done many, many 10-day retreats, uh-huh. 2-year-long Buddhist meditation instructor training at a place called Spirit Rock, and did a lot of long retreats. And from my own experience, it would often take, you know, 7-8 days into a very focused, long, mindful training practice in a retreat environment to finally get to these profound states that now I can access in a matter of 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, I think one of the things that's important to mention is that spacious level is not a place where you live. It's a place that you visit, right?
I love that. Yes, exactly. So even when the Buddha talks about these states of heightened consciousness, mm-hmm. they're all temporary states. Everything is temporary. We don't live mm-hmm. in a state of what they call it in Buddhism, nirvana. Like you visit right. nirvana, you go, you have these transcendent states of your sense of identity and your ego decreasing and you feeling connected to all life, but you don't live there permanently. But the beautiful thing is that when you have these microdoses of these heightened states of consciousness all throughout your day, mm-hmm. they trickle down. They have profound impact of how then you live your day-to-day in the yeah. productive, raising a family, having a job, managing a home, your finances, living in community, volunteering, all these things that we do on a daily basis, it then translates down so that we are then living in a, really in a heightened state of consciousness all throughout our day.
Yeah. That makes sense. So one practical application that I wanted to talk through for our audience is, say that you're in a situation where you're going to have a difficult conversation. Maybe you're going to have an argument. Maybe you're feeling like, you know, you're feeling pretty keyed up. You're triggered in some way. How do you use the awe practice, the awe method in that moment? And can you use the awe method in that moment?
Yeah, definitely. So the beautiful thing about the awe practice is that you can shift your level of consciousness in a matter of, you know, 10 to 15 seconds. And so what we talk about in our book is this idea, and this is really a profound idea. It's around understanding how really like modern psychology views the world. It's the stimulus and response model. Mm-hmm. So, and this is why we practice like mind meditation and mindfulness, is to lengthen that stimulus and response. So an example would be is you're driving on the road and then someone is speeding and they cut you off, and they maybe, and your natural reaction might be is to speed back and give them the finger or yell at them. Mm-hmm. Stimulus happens. You respond. Mm-hmm. It can be the same thing at home. Like you're at work all day, you come home and there's a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink and you thought your spouse was going to clean them or your kids were going to clean them. And so stimulus happens and you're ready to respond out of anger or frustration. Right. And so we're practicing these spiritual practices to kind of lengthen that stimulus response gap so that we can then have conscious choice of how we're going to respond. Right. Well, the beautiful thing about practicing these moments of spacious consciousness all throughout the day, these microdoses of awe, is that we're changing our level of consciousness before we even see the stimulus, so that when we see the stimulus, we're already in a heightened state, so that we're going to respond completely different without even necessarily having to think much about it or be conscious about it. So if I've had a lot of moments of awe and someone cuts me off on the highway, I'll be like, yo, peace, bro. Like, life is short. We're on this incredible planet, 4.5 billion years old. Yeah. You know, we're swirling around. Galaxies all around us. This like little cutoff doesn't really matter. I just want to cultivate peace and like bring goodwill to the planet and to each other. And so immediately we're just living in an altered state of it. Well, in a positive, not altered. I mean, that becomes your state, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of living. And so if you're going to have a difficult conversation, it's like, yeah, practice this. It's gonna help the outcome. And then if you're gonna have it with someone, have a moment of awe together. You know, spend a minute of going outside, connect to that awe of life. Maybe even share with your person you're gonna have a conversation with about a moment of awe you've had today. Mm-hmm. Set the tone of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So you together, you're already in the altered state of consciousness. And then have that conversation with, you know, hopefully the intention that our goal here is to really keep connected or to find that common ground. I think the conversations will go very different.
Yeah. One of the things that I know I've experienced is that when I think of it as stimulus, pause, response, and the pause is what gives me time. And if in that pause, I can activate my compassion, then, you know, so you're like, somebody cuts you off and you think, okay, I wonder what's going on in your life. I'm sorry you're in such a hurry or you're so stressed or whatever. So you can offer that person compassion. Same thing in an argument. You might be able to take a pause and then be like, oh, wow, they're feeling threatened because, and what can I say that will reassure them that I'm actually not a threat? You know, it gives you a little time to just reframe what you're going to say and how you're looking at the situation.
Oh, that's a really beautiful way of, I love it. The pause with the compassion piece.
Yeah.
That's great. And yeah. I was going to just share, kind of ties in with awe with the compassion piece is, awe is what's called a pro-social emotion. Uh-huh. That's what the researchers prior to our research was really discovering about awe, is that it is a pro-social emotion, which means that within awe is all these other positive emotions like gratitude and compassion and kindness. So when we cultivate on our lives, we are naturally becoming more compassionate to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I can say for a fact that that's true, because that's something that I experience a lot. So we have blown through our time. And so I wanted to say, are there any last takeaways you'd like to offer to our audience?
Well, I just want to leave with people just, you know, the idea that this is more than a personal practice. Mm-hmm. And we share about this in our book, and it's really a call to action that we do know from the science that awe changes lives. It changes our physiology, both physically and mentally, in a very good way in terms of cultivating health and well-being. But it's more than just a personal practice. This is a practice of changing the world, of changing the planet.
Yeah.
Because when we live in awe, we don't have the capacity to harm other people. We're in awe of other cultures. Mm-hmm. We're in awe of differences of people rather than wanting to kill people because they're different than us. When we live in awe, we want to protect the natural world and care for all life on this planet. Mm-hmm. When we live in awe, we see the miraculous every day. We live as though life is a miracle. Mm-hmm. And so being in awe changes the tone of every conversation. Mm-hmm. It changes how we raise our children. It changes how we are at work, whether patients or that we care for, or the people we coach or mentor.
Yeah.
If we're in the service industry, you know, when we're in awe, it changes our relation with the people we're serving. Mm-hmm. It also changes like how people govern the work, a city or lead a nation. Mm-hmm. When we bring awe back into the conversation and into our lives. So we really see that there's no downside to this practice. Mm-hmm. We know it's safe from the scientific study and the research.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing is that it's free. Yeah. Awe is everywhere around us. If you just go out and look at the night sky and you see the stars and the planets around us, or you take taking a shower and feeling that water, like you said, the warm water, like how awe-inspiring is that we have plumbing and indoor water and all that. Yeah. Like we just all need to open our eyes to the grandeur of all life, of these blessings that we have, of everything around us that is abundantly filled with awe. And it's a radical change. And I would love to connect with your listeners. They can find me at thepowerofawe.com and drop us an email. And we have videos and free content. We have an online course. So there's so much there that kind of engage with us in the community. And I'm just really grateful and feel so much gratitude for this connection with you today, Maria, and getting to meet your community of listeners.
Thank you so much. And for everyone listening, we will have links to all of this in the show notes. And Michael, thank you so much for being on here today. And more than that, thank you for this discovery and for writing this amazing book. If everyone just go out and get this book, it will change your life.
Oh, thank you.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening, and have a wonderful rest of your day, and may it be filled with awe. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free strategy session with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks, and have a fabulous day.